Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. He's in Edmonton calling the game tonight. The Oilers taking on the Penguins on TNT. You see him, hear him on the NHL on TNT. One of our favorites. Here's Eddie Olczyk. What's happening, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. How you doing?
Yeah, you too, buddy. We're doing very well. Well, we're excited for the two-pack of games tonight. I think the hockey world's talking about the game in Toronto and the game in Edmonton. And I guess we'll begin with the one here in Toronto, the one we were just talking about, and the reality that Nazem Kadri is facing. And I don't know if you ever were in his position at any point in your career where you got a chance to maybe move up the lineup. You put up big production, and then the big board comes back, in this case Nathan MacKinnon. And, like, does Bednar even have a chat with him, or is it just you know your spot, and sorry, Naz, you're moving down the bench, man. Nathan MacKinnon's back, and you're back on the second line.
Yeah, I mean, I think any time you are a player in this league, and regardless of what era, and you do, you do move up the line chart, and you produce well, and, you're on the first power play, you're getting those minutes, you're out there at the end of the game, both in a defensive situation or in an offensive situation. But the reality is then when your best guys come back, there's a pretty good chance that those minutes are going to go down and those quality chances are going to go down. But, Kadri's, look, he stepped up in a huge way. He really has. They haven't missed a beat, really, since MacKinnon going out. But I think if you're an intelligent coach, you have that conversation with them and just reassure them that, hey, look, you did a hell of a job, but, Nate's back and he's going to get those looks and you just got to slide back into your spot. But that's an incredible, I don't say luxury to have, but to know that a guy can step up and eat up those minutes when you lose, arguably one of the top three players in the entire National Hockey League. So, yeah, I think you have that conversation, Brian, but I don't know if you make it too big of a deal about it. And I think Kadri's smart enough now. I mean, some of the plays that he's made over his career, you can say he's not that smart, but I think he's smart enough to understand that MacKinnon knows that, or he knows that, MacKinnon's going to come in and he's going to take 85% of the power play, and I might not get a sniff if I'm not on the number one unit.
The Leafs, it feels like they might be bracing for some impact tonight, Eddie, because they're coming off the road. They had such a successful road trip. They went
Great road trip.
And then they take all three in Cali, and really they did so decisively. And now they're coming home, and Sheldon Keefe's like, can we act as if we're still on the road tonight, even though they're at home? What do you expect the response to be from the Leafs, considering first game back on the East Coast and a really quality team in Colorado waiting for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jamie and Old Dog can probably back this up. I mean, anytime you go on a road trip for a period of time, I mean, that first game back is, it's difficult. I mean, look what happened to Carolina, right? I mean, Carolina went on the road and they seemed like they were gone for 2 weeks and they were, unbelievable on their road trip. And I know that they had lost a game on the road or whatever. And then they come home and then, they have a tough game, and then they go back on the road out to Dallas, which, I mean, I still can't believe the schedule. And again, I know everybody's schedule gets crazy just because of the Olympic break coming up and everything, but, they lost that game as well in Dallas. So, I mean, just sometimes the schedule plays that way, but when you do get into these situations and you play four or five games on the road and things go really well, I mean, I think as a team, as a staff, as an organization, I'm sure you're very guarded on coming back and playing that first game. It's just, I don't know if there's a letdown and the focus goes away and you got to catch up on a lot of things at home and family and whatever. But I saw the Leafs a week ago. I think it was a week ago tonight. I don't even know what the hell day it is, but it was the night before Thanksgiving, at least American Thanksgiving. And they had a swagger around the locker room. Their focus on the ice was just, I mean, they were dynamite in that game in L.A. Now, I know that they probably had a little bit of payback coming, and I think talking to Todd McClellan, the head coach of the Kings, before the game is, the game prior when the Kings were in Toronto, the skate was on the other foot, and the Leafs really didn't have a great game. So the Kings were expecting a game and a half, and I think that they got two games from Toronto that night because they were just flat out awesome. And watching them throughout that road trip, they just really were on their toes. Nylander getting on the board there. I think it was in San Jose, if I'm not mistaken. So they got it going on right now, and they're getting the goaltending, obviously. And but that first game back, to the heart of your question, I think, Brian, that's, you know, I think you want to be even or ahead, even though you're at home. And usually the road teams say this, but let's be even or ahead after the first period. And I think if the Leafs could do that, it could be one whale of a game, because they're going to face a pretty darn good team in Colorado tonight.
You touched on the Leafs and how it was, did it look different, Eddie? Because I think the fan base, and we touched on it last week, it's like, you know, we're falling in love again here. And the big thing is, come springtime, are we going to get let down? Like, is did you see anything different? Could it be different? Is it just these guys getting older and more mature and playing at a different level? Because that's what the fan base, they're kind of up in the air about. We're like, okay, we're back in now, but don't do it to me again in the spring.
Yes, 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 and yes. They will be judged and evaluated and, you know, ultimately figure out is when it comes playoff time. There's no doubt about it. But, yes, it does feel, again, just being around the team down around, you know, the locker room area before the morning skate. And you know, I mean, a guy like Jason Spezza has always just got a smile on his face and just very infectious personality and smiling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they just felt very comfortable and they felt very confident. And, you know, I know they've had their wide range of, you know, of streaks, whether it's specialty teams or even strength or, you know, what have you. But again, I mean, everything is going to be judged on what happens come, you know, early May. I guess that's when playoffs start this year. Usually it's in April, but this year it's going to be hopefully in early May. But yeah, I feel that, and seeing them in person and watching a lot of the games, I think it does feel a little bit different. And, you know, look at it. I mean, can the goaltending continue? I mean, that would be one of the question marks that I had going into the season, and now can that end up being a strength, right? Like, could that end up being something that they could really lean on here and move forward? But I just saw them playing very well collectively. I don't want to say five-man units, but certainly in a swarming type of mentality against a team like LA, who's had a pretty good season, and they can get up and go. But you know, it was just one of those games where there was no contest, I thought. I mean, LA just said, you know what, we're the best team, and we're going to play that way, and we're going to play that way for 60 minutes. So now they're starting to get a little bit healthy, and there'll be some tough decisions to make of getting guys in and out. And you guys know this better than anybody. I mean, there is something about chemistry, right? Like, there is something about just having those same guys, and we know the world we're living in with COVID and everything else, but just staying hockey healthy. There's something for consistency, and when guys start feeling it and playing a certain way, you just want to ride that wave, and I think certainly they're doing that right now.
Chatting with Eddie Olczyk. Eddie's in Edmonton calling the game tonight, the NHL and TNT. The Oilers are at home against Pittsburgh, which means McDavid going up against Sidney Crosby tonight. We've been discussing that game a lot throughout the afternoon, Eddie, and specifically how the top two centers mirror each other, not with cup success, clearly, because McDavid and Draisaitl have been together for a handful of years, and by that point, Sid and Malkin had already been to two cup finals and won one. But in terms of just the potent offensive ability and where they might rank all-time 1-2, we all believe it's unanimous. Gretzky, Messier, they're in a, you know, category to themselves. But we came up with a couple of other duos over the last 30, 35 years. Yzerman and Fedorov, Lemieux and Francis, obviously Sid and Gino, Sakic and Forsberg. Not necessarily about playoff success and hardware and all that, just any given night in their prime. Do you think the duo of McDavid and Draisaitl up the middle of the ice, could they chase those other duos? Could they already be past them? Where do they rank for you in terms of production and how scary they are for the opposition?
Yeah, that's a hell of a daily double there when you talk about some of those names. I mean, you get every era there, and just hearing some of those names go, like, geez, I mean, I played in that era. I'm like, yeah, I was -4 that night. I was -2 that night. And, you know, but as we know, the old dog, right, plus minus is overrated. We know that. Like, that, you know, we should go to the baseball stats. Is when you get a, you know, when you get an E6, it should be just on E6. It shouldn't be on the whole team, right?
Like, Eddie, do you know how many goals I saw?
Right fielder, right?
You know how many goals that I saw go into the net as I stood beside my defenseman and had him in check? Perfect position! And Artur Zerbe would be closing his eyes, and I had to chew on a minus. It just made me sick.
Yeah. Well, that kind of stuff happens. I did open that box, so to speak. But when you really look at it, at the 1-2 punch for Dave Tippett and with those guys in the middle, I mean, yeah, you could certainly argue when it's all said and done, and whether that's 10 years from now or 15 years from now, you could sit there and probably put their numbers up against some of the greatest 1-2 punches as far as, guys at the, at the pivot as we've seen in history. I mean, the Lemieux-Francis one obviously is pretty interesting, because when you look at Ronnie's numbers and you look at his assist and you just sit there and go, oh my gosh, probably one of the more underrated players ever, in my opinion, ever to play in the National Hockey League. And Doug, that with Dean and Ronnie in Carolina, and obviously Mario, his numbers speak for themselves. But these guys just they just seem to push each other and feed off of each other, and then all of a sudden, you got a TV timeout right around the corner, or there's a penalty kill that's over, and all of a sudden, Tippy will sit there and go, I'm just going to load up on these guys. And yeah, I think one of these nights when they're going so good, I think Tippy should just send the two of them out there by themselves and just see what they could do. You know what I mean? Like 2-5, Brian.
Yes.
And see if they could go ahead and you know what? We don't need any help on the back end. We don't need a winger. We're just going to go out there. And you know what? They probably would be able to hold their own because they got the puck the whole time, and just two immense talents. And it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Obviously here, and then those two guys patrolling. So, I can't argue those two guys. They're certainly in that same air, and when it's all said and done, they may be at the very top of the list. But you got some pretty salty guys there when you talk about Gretz and Mess and Stevie Y, and then of course Mario and Ronnie, and the list goes on. But those guys, they're in the team picture, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's a testament to how good they've been. And, on the flip side of it, Sid's playing, but he's still waiting to get going, coming off COVID, yeah. Coming off the surgery. Yeah. And Gino's not there either, because Gino's still probably a month and a half out, I would think, before he returns. Where do you stand on Pitt, Eddie, and where they currently are as a franchise and their chances of kind of staying in the mix at this point?
Well, I mean, they've stayed in a mix with they've been moving around and, guys in and out of the lineup. And I mean, they have not had their top six forwards. Talked to Mike Sullivan this morning, and they haven't had their top six forwards together at all. Not one shift all season long. You know, I mean, they're missing Brian Rust too, who is a really, I mentioned underrated players. I mean, he's a pretty damn good player. And, I look at him like at a guy like Hyman, just kind of very similar type of players and just very complimentary and can put the puck in the back of the net, play with anybody. But, I think when you look at how well Tristan Jarry has played, I think I saw him as either player of the week or second player of the week, whatever it was, or for the month, or I saw him as one of the stars of this last little while, and he's been just terrific. And I don't know if you guys saw that Calgary-Pittsburgh game the other night, but if either goaltender is off in that game, I mean, you talk about the old days. I mean, that would have been like 85 in the old Corral. I mean, that could have been a 7-5 game. I mean, both those guys played unbelievable in the game. I mean, Markstrom's, he might be the leader in the clubhouse for the Vezina, in my opinion. But Jari's been terrific. He really has. I know he struggled again. Mentioned about the Leafs and being evaluated come playoff time. Jari's no different. I mean, he was not very good last year in the playoffs, and that really hurt the Penguins, because I thought they were just as good as the Islanders, but they just didn't get any saves. I mean, that's just the way that I saw it. So, but I think for Pittsburgh, is they've hung around here with a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. And, I would be very surprised. Like, I think there are a lot of people that think that both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are both going to be out of the playoffs. I'm not so quick. I'm not so quick to pull the plug on the Penguins. I still think that there's a lot there. And if the goaltending, and again, we know what ifs are, but if they can continue with the consistent goaltending and Jarry, there's no reason why the Penguins can't get into a very tough, obviously, deep Eastern Conference. I think they still have the pieces there, Brian. I do. And you're going to get Malkin back. I'm sure he's going to be, he's going to be all lathered up here and get ready and probably be primed to play in the Olympics and then come back and have the stretch run for the Penguins. So it'll be fun to watch, see how the Penguins and this plays out if they can get healthy at some point.
Absolutely, and it'll be a fun one tonight. Pittsburgh in Edmonton. Here's Eddie Olchuk, one of our favorites, the NHL on TNT. Enjoy the game tonight, Eddie. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey, guys, just full disclosure, you could go. I know Old Dog's just dying to give me a shot here. I know my horse Art Collector did not run very well in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I know that.
The way Hazy said it, Eddie, I don't think Eddie had that one right, if I can remember correctly.
No, but you, full disclosure, you said you believed there was going to be a top three. I thought you said that, so you hedged your bet.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I said, yeah. And Jamie, thanks for waking up from your nap. It's good to talk to you.
tough to get a word in here.
I appreciate it. But no, you're right. Like that's exactly what I said. The odds were very good. And he, you know, look, he didn't run a lick. Oh, dog, all I'm going to say is you could not even have beat Art Collector of how bad he rode that or you ran that day. Okay. I'm just going to let
maybe
you know
he was
right
out.
Now.
Maybe he was out old school the night before the race, Eddie. Who knows?
All right. Well, hey, I'm coming to Toronto there, and I'm coming back to TO in, what is it, like 9 days there. I got the Hawks and the Leafs on
Saturday night. I'll be down there.
Saturday night, yeah. We're like 8 or 9 days, so I'm looking forward to coming back to town. So hopefully our paths will cross.
Yes.
Wow. How about we do a lunch, Eddie? We'll meet you for a lunch on Saturday.
I'm in. Okay, tell me when.
Okay. We'll get in touch.
Maybe we can be up at Woodbine, and we'll get nostalgic.
Hey, you know what? Oh, well, no, don't worry. I'll already have been there and made my wagers by the time we see. it'll be my treat. It will be my treat in Toronto on that Saturday if we can hook up for lunch. All right?
Love it. All right,
okay,
Eddie.
Boys.
Let's try to make
that
work.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you, buddy. You too. There's Eddie Olchuk.